So, exciting times. We're going to do something which the Lord's been longing for us to do for a long, long time. And that's to see a marrying come together of the worship and the missional movement, which I believe is in the heart of God right now, that God is stirring the hearts of His church. And what the evangelists lacked was the power that came out of the worship movement. And what the worship movement lacked was taking it out and giving it to those who are desperately hungry. And the coming together of the two is what I believe the Lord is bringing us to now, a marrying of the missional and the worship movement. And the worship is going to empower the missional. And the missional is going to give the whole new aspect of the worship as to why we're doing this. We go running out that door and going to change lives. Hallelujah. So I've been thinking a lot about it. I've been praying a lot. And the one thing the Lord says over and over is when you form into groups, and one will be in the west, one will be in the southeast, and one will be in the east at this stage, you're not to form them thinking, what are we going to do to reach the lost? You're to form it and begin to worship where you are. And He will begin to direct us to what He wants us to do. Otherwise, it's just going to become another exercise. And let's go around the room and see if we've got 10 good ideas of what we're going to do here. And instead, let's get what's in His heart. Because everything flows from Him. Nothing flows from our minds. From our good ideas, nothing comes. But from Him, what is going to change everything comes from Him. And so, go there. We're going to meet. So don't worry about what you're going to do or who's there. Just call a bunch of people together and say, okay, we're the Southeast. Come to my house. We're going to spend time worshiping the Lord. And I don't mean once every 6 months. I mean as often as you can. Let's come together. Let's share life. Let's share food. Let's just share this kingdom. And let's begin to cry out to God together. And let's begin to worship the King of Glory in our community. And say, Lord, send us out with whatever is in your heart. And we're going to see big changes. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you. You know, we've been praying here for 9 years now. We've been worshiping and praying, worshiping and praying. You've got to believe it's time to harvest. You've got to believe it. Otherwise, what would we do that for? I mean, Graham was with us right in the beginning in Soho, where we used to be crying out to God there. And you know, you go through many trials and many testings and many seasons in which you think nothing's going to happen here. But it's the ability to endure that brings us to the place where we eventually say, God, what you promised you will fulfill. And so as we've pressed in and we've chosen to get up when we're so discouraged we can hardly breathe, and we said, but still you're worth worshiping. And He begins to respond. And you know what, guys? I feel, I'm sensing in my spirit like a restlessness that's taking place in heaven. And I don't mean a restlessness born of boredom. I mean an urgency to start moving. I sense there's a gathering and an assembling and a setting in place for the next phase of the plan of God. And it's a strategy which has been there for eons of time. But I sense when I pray this restlessness going on in heaven. There's a lot of activity and a lot of movement as God begins to get ready for what we really believe will be the greatest ingathering this world has ever seen. And I want to live to see all of it. But I really believe that this is the season that God is going to take the little bit that we have, the small amount that we are, and multiply it massively. And the 9 years that we've sown will reap a massive harvest. In fact, I believe that a lot of missional churches in London have reaped from the prayer and worship we've been doing. And I'm so happy for that. But I want to share now. I want to see lives healed as well. I want to see it. And so this is why we've got to carry on. This is why we've got to encourage ourselves and encourage each other and say, but we can't give up now. There's something just around the corner. And I've lived my whole life believing there's something just around the corner. But I can't be any other way. So I want to encourage you guys tonight. You're about to have the ride of your life. You're about to enter into revelation that you dared only dream about, but that God has been preparing. And I want you to know, we have prayed. Have we prayed? Oh my goodness me. When I go all the way back to Soho and then Orange Street and St. Mary's Hill and the old street, the prayer thing of the old street. What was it called? The boiler room. And then the prayer that's been going on at Westminster. It's almost like we've got gates all over the city. Spiritual gates, gateways into heaven where we've stood and contended for God. You know, I can remember at St. Mary's Hill when we first moved into the city, the square mile of don't go there stuff if you're the church. And we saw all these strange and funny manifestations taking place in the church and people saying, I don't want to be part of this church anymore. I'm out of here. And we said, well, what have we done? I don't know. I'm just angry with you. I don't know what you've done. And then 3 weeks later, they reappeared. We said, what was that? What happened? We don't know. We were just very angry, but we don't know what we're angry about. It was stupid stuff that was going on. But pushing through, and I'll never forget, we decided this has got to be broken. This can't be, we can't have this obstacle. So we called a week of fasting, you may remember it, and praying every night. And then finally, the last night, we all gathered in St. Marriott Hill, one late afternoon, about 6:37, and we began to worship the Lord with all our might. And then the Lord sent us out. We ran the whole block, and we prayed around that block. 7 times we walked around that block. And we had these lovely Spanish guys in the church in those days, and they carried these little fructose bottles with olive oil in. They were squirting every shop we went past. You see, it's all according to your faith. And so it changed. We entered into the presence of God in a place where you theoretically shouldn't be able to. And we saw the glory of God in that place. Guys, it's been worth it. It has been so worth it. But now we're standing in a season where we're about to embark on another phase of this journey. And what we can't do is take our foot off the petrol. This is not the season to slack back. This is the season to double up. This is the season to push in, because I'll tell you what, our enemy hasn't given up. He's not on holiday. He hasn't taken long leave. He is still very, very busy. And we need to be wise, and we need to understand what's going on, and we need to fight this fight through to the conclusion. And as long as I've got breath in me, I'm fighting, because there's something worthwhile to fight for, because I'm utterly convinced that what Jesus promised, He will fulfill. I really believe it. I believe that what He has said, we will see if we believe it. But if we look at the obstacles and we look at the circumstances and we say, well, maybe that was just wishful thinking, we're in trouble. But like Margaret Thatcher, this man's not for turning. I'm seriously not for turning. It doesn't matter how hard it's going to be. Whether I die in the process, as long as I drop in the direction of where we're going, that is all that matters. There is nothing else that is worthwhile but this. I want to get history to show that you guys stood in the gap in this season. You're the guys that took up the lead and said, we will take this role. We will see what God has said we will see in this nation. I want you to have that as your testimony. I want you to get to glory one day and God says, well done, Wendy, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful every Wednesday morning in your house, you contended whether anybody came to support you or not. You were there, Wendy. Look what you achieved. And Wendy gets into glory and there's a plaque with her name on. That was what Wendy achieved. I want that. I have a vision for your life. I have a vision to see you fulfill the call that God made on you. I'm not giving up just because it's not apparent right now, because that's not what we're signed up for in the first place. Now, we've been quite a journey. But I believe we've been effective. And I believe that this has been a potent time when God has done great things. But you know, He's getting us ready for a full revelation. I want to read you the most unusual bit of scripture tonight. And it comes from the Gospel of Mark. I think it's Mark 13. Yeah, it is. Mark 13. Okay, I've just got one hand to do this with. So Jesus says to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, and will deceive many. He's not writing this to a bunch of unbelievers. He's writing it to the church. And he's saying, many will be deceived. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines, but these are the beginning of birth pangs. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local council and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations in and out of London. Whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death and father his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And that has happened in China. Everyone will hate you because of me, but you, the one who stands firm to the end. Guys, that's really what this is about. It's the ones that are standing firm to the end who will be saved. It's the ones who refuse to give up. We don't negotiate with our enemy. We don't bow to the idol of unbelief. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, there is the Messiah, or look, here he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, that's us. So be on your guard. How many times has he warned us in this passage of scripture? Be on your guard, watch out, keep your eyes open. I have told you everything ahead of time. Hallelujah. I'm going to drop to verse 21. At that time, when he comes again, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen, you know that it is near, right at the door. It's absolutely amazing. It's the least popular bit of scripture to read. It's actually the bit that we don't like because, as we could explain it away and say, this happened 70 years after Jesus ascended, so it's all past now. We've passed the tribulation. We're now living in the rapture. No, not the rapture yet, but the time of blessing. Well, if this is the time of blessing, I want my money back because this is not. So, I don't think it is. I think Jesus is speaking to us. But really what I wanted to impress on you tonight is simply this, and that is that Jesus is calling us to a new level of alert yourselves, a new level of get up, because this is a war zone that we're living in. And it's a great war zone, but it's nonetheless a war zone, and you can't get out of this. But I want to tell you something else, which might actually right now be what's in your heart. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it does since the beginning of creation. So people are saying, well, not really. That's just a story. It's not really going to happen. It's always just going to be good. We're going to live in this glory, hallelujah time and season of the overflowing of all the abundance of God. And we're just going to have these long, lovely worship meetings that will never end. But God says differently. God says there is something else we've got to get ready for. He says, what are you expecting? Have you grown tired of waiting yet? I sometimes think that the principalities and the powers understand God's program and his strategy a little better than the church does, because they've stepped up their activity in the world. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are wars. There are lots of wars. There are lots of natural disasters. Could that be why he's bringing disruption to so many lives in the church right now? You know, we read in that the word tells us that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things that happen. It's the little things that get us focused on our own lives, get us focused on our own needs, get us focused on what we want and what we don't want, get us focused on the things that we don't see that we would like to see and that we're unhappy with. And the moment we do that, we've missed the whole thing completely, because if our focus comes off Him, we can't be on our guard. We can't be keeping watch any longer. Back in South Africa when we lived there, I used to keep chickens. I loved keeping chickens. That was great because we lived on a farm, so we could do that. And I love chickens. They're great, great animals. They're great to eat as well. And and it was really interesting because we let them go free range and run around the place. And it was really interesting to watch when there was a hen who had her little chicks. She'd take them out to feed them, and she'd have a certain sound she'd make to keep them near her all the time. And then we would have a birds of prey. They called a raptor. I called it a hawk. And the hawk would suddenly appear, and the mother hen would spot the hawk, and she'd change her cry to a different cry completely. And these little chicks would come running to their mama, and they'd get under her wings, and she would fluff up her feathers and make herself twice as big as she normally is. And she'd look at that hawk, and she'd come down here, I'm going to take your head off. But the key was, the little chick had to run when the mother called, or they were going to be lunch for some hawk. And I think it's a little bit like that in the time that we're living in now. Jesus is calling His body, He's calling His people to come closer to Him than ever before. And He's saying, here, you're safe. You're going to be so safe. But if you're running around out there, you're easy picking for your enemy, who's going to come and disrupt the issues of your life and make us so focused on those issues that we can't see the bigger picture and become so preoccupied with just surviving another day that we miss thinking about what we're doing this for. We entered this game because we believed in Jesus. We believed in what He said. We believed that He is going to come back again. We believe that He is preparing this world for the greatest gathering there will ever be. But yes, there will come with it persecution. There will come with it those who are going to have to pay a different price. But that doesn't take away the beauty of the prize. This is the season that we have been prepared for. It's been what God has taken us into. And it's time now for us to rise up like never before and say, God, we are called for something much greater than this. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. I believe that instead of going to less prayer, we've got to step up prayer now. I believe we've got to pray like never before. I believe we have to cry out to God day and night in worship and prayer, because Jesus is about to do something extraordinary. And we will partner with Him in what He's going to do. We will become part of what He will use to release His will and His purposes on the earth by getting, by His Holy Spirit, you to pray what He wants to see happening on the earth. And you and I will partner with heaven in releasing heaven's purpose in many circumstances that we're doing involved in right now. You know that word that I spoke of last week from Haggai? And the issue of the story was in Haggai chapter 1 is simply that 50,000 Hebrews were sent back from Babylon to Israel to rebuild the temple. And when they got there, they said, well, let's first build our houses, because that's really the pressing issue. We've got to have somewhere to live. And God then speaks to these guys and He says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, that's the temple, remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but can never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in purses with holes in them. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, that I may take pleasure and be honored, says the Lord. And in the same way, Haggai is saying to these guys, you need to rebuild the temple, because that means you will be secure. When your heart is focused on Jesus and on what He's purposed, you will be secure. Your whole life will work. You will be provided for when God is the center of your will and the center of your heart. And in the same way, right now, I believe the Lord is saying to us, if you build my house, you will be secure. You will have nothing to fear. There will be nothing that cannot happen that you want to see happen if you build my house. That's really where it comes to tonight, guys. It's really where it comes to. With that same zeal, we have to move out into London. And for those of you who weren't here, we're just going to break into groups. Still meeting here every Friday, but there will be groups in different parts of London, having meetings there on Sundays to establish the kingdom in different places. But it's got to flow from that one heart. Lord, perhaps I've been a bit discouraged. Perhaps I've just got tired of waiting. Perhaps my vision got dim. Perhaps I forgot why we were doing this in the first place. Perhaps I just lost interest in the whole idea. And the Lord is saying tonight is a time for us to gather back our hearts to Him. Say, Jesus, I'm here for you. I remember what I got saved for. I remember when I said, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll take a bullet. I'll do anything you say. I want to remember those things again. I want my heart to be so stirred that all I'm going to want is you and what you're doing. I want nothing less, Jesus. I really believe it's the time and the season, guys. And I know it's such an unpopular message, but I believe it's the word we need to hear. It's the word that's got to stir our hearts. It's time to wake up the giant. It's time to start the engines again. It's time to rekindle faith in us again. It's time to say, Lord, there is something I'm in this journey for. There's something that you're going to do in my lifetime that I will not stop until I see, because you have promised and you are faithful, and I'm not giving up no matter what happens. And you know, the interesting thing, if you go look in Revelations, the Gospels and Acts, no meeting was ever fun, happy, glory, woo-hoo, time. Meetings were about Jesus. If you go and look in Revelation chapter 5 and 7, the people are not focused on whether they're being fulfilled or having a cool time in God's presence. The meeting is focused on God. And they're on their faces before the throne of God. Guys, we can't do anything less than that. If Jesus taught us to pray, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we need to have the worship of heaven on the earth. And worship belongs to Him, not to us. And we have to go past the place of I'm tired, or I don't like the song, or I don't agree with the words because I'm a man or I'm a woman. We have to enter into worship. And you know, worship is not a song you sing. Worship is a heart attitude. You can stand absolutely silently, but your heart is just focused on the Lord. And in your heart, you're on fire for God. You become an agent of revival in your generation, which is what God saved you for. And Lord, this is not about threatening people. This isn't about trying to make you feel bad. This is about trying to hold before you a brilliant vision and say, this gets better. This gets so much better. There is something waiting for you which is so extraordinary. This gets so much better. But tonight I want to ask you to make a decision. Your decision has got to be, Jesus, I'm in this for you. And there's no doubt about it in my mind. And whatever you want, I want. Because in the end, I want your reward. I don't want my rewards. The earth can bless me, but nothing like eternity can. And Lord, I want to say to you tonight, here I am. Because Jesus, when you died on the cross, it was a perfect sinless man paying for the sins of mankind. When you rose again, Jesus, you defeated Satan, you defeated your enemy. And if we truly believe this every day, we will live in the victory that you achieve for us on the cross. And He will have no space in our lives. And so, Lord God, we come to you tonight. We lay our lives before you and we say, take what I've got. This is all I have. I only got this life. But I want to give it to you. I want to say to you, Lord, it belongs to you. Whatever you want to do, I want to do, Jesus. All I know is I want to live with you for eternity. And I want to see, look into the splendor of your face every single day. But I want to start practicing worship now. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. So we offer you our worship. We offer you our lives. We thank you so much. This is a glad moment that we stop trying to fight this battle on our own. And stop trying to live for ourselves. We choose to live for you tonight, Jesus. This is about you, it's not about us.